I was heading to New York on Amtrak, moving along the Connecticut shoreline. The fall colors were still near peak. I had the season to myself there in a railroad car, where I'm pretty sure everyone else took a pass on the window in favor of a phone or tablet or laptop. My fellow passengers were somewhere else. I stayed with Autumn in New England, the best show anywhere. So I will start my thankful list there, in this season that has been the most spectacular in memory. The snap, sparkle, and cool, clear crunch of it have drawn us out the door to embrace the quiet pleasure of a walk in the leaves. I began this annual list of things to be thankful for at the suggestion of Bob Perillo, a Providence lawyer who has been doing it for years. It is a very healthy thing to do, taking stock of the things that make our lives richer, and so many of them, like the blazing red maple, are all natural and free of charge. These are mad and crazy times in so many ways. Uncertainty is the rule. We are threatened by things we can't possibly understand. Compassion seems in short supply. But there are things that sustain us, and every once in a while it is good to stop and consider the places we've been and the people we know and the small, timeless pleasures of life. I just finished my first year of retirement. It has a very nice upside, which is time, of course. Time for coffee in the morning with the paper and my wife Paula. A brutal winter provided some of the nicest days we have ever had. We walked the snow-covered streets with Elsie the Giant Schnauzer and Jake the Airedale and enjoyed the quiet of it and the beautiful stark majesty of the bare trees against the winter sky. When we'd had our fill, we came back inside and sometimes broke the chill with a whiskey. It has been a time to get reacquainted, to move beyond a newspaper job that was far too defining. It has been nice to write these essays for radio. That goes on my thankful list, too. And the guys I play golf with. A Providence College professor, a clinical social worker, and a guy who runs an ad agency. We met by chance, but we have found such a comfortable ease that we can go almost anywhere as we discuss the important and the silly and sometimes the scary. I have said more than once that the real appeal of this friendship is the clubhouse conversation more than the golf. I think it is one of the great joys of getting to 70 and beyond to embrace the conversation, to realize that there is time to settle in and let thoughts and ideas take us where they will. Friendships get richer, closer, more vital when properly preserved. I am lucky for all the friends who let me enjoy their company. So friends and conversation, walks in leaves and snow. And there is more. The cherished, enduring connection with Vietnam veterans, who tend to carry our shared experience with a wisdom that should not be wasted. Here's a question for those of us who came of age in the 60s. Have we lived in the most interesting time ever? I say yes. We grew up in the somnolent 50s when some things were still rock solid. Then the world flipped, and we rode the wave of social change and often lost our balance. We had the best music ever for a soundtrack, and the civil rights movement forced us to confront the hard truth of our own shortcomings. And perhaps most important, we knew what mattered and held on to it and are able to keep the dull spread of technology in check. So I'll wrap up the list with that. I am thankful to have lived when I've lived. No doubt about it, I've had it good.